from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
As we welcome in the president of our Players Association, James Hamm. He is our legal expert. He is all things important. James Hamm of the Insiders, of course, 10 to 12 here on ESPN 1320. Hammer, let's bring you into a conversation we were having earlier. It got it got interesting. We were asking about drafting, starting a franchise. Like, who would you draft if you were starting a franchise? And Wemby obviously was there, Luka, Giannis, so on and so on. The question we asked, though, is how many draft picks are taken before De'Aaron Fox's name is called? And that sparked that got interesting.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think when you're looking at players that you're going to consider in this, like, in this type of conversation, you have to balance like age and contract status, mm-hmm. like where they are in the league. And a lot of the players that you mentioned, like, look, if you're a GM and you're starting a team, you always have to remember that, like, you have to have players that are great now so you don't get fired and don't get to see the thing like play out, mm-hmm. you know? So if you're going to play that game, I guess it just depends on the parameters. But like, I'm taking Victor Wembanyama like number one. Like, no question. If I'm building a team today, there's absolutely no question I would take him number one and just build around him long term. But after that, it does get a little murky. I mean,
and that's where we just kept, because I think I could get De'Aaron into the top half of the draft, in the top 15. And then it just became a, what about this person? What about this person? Well, what about this person?
And the conversation was also, we see De'Aaron a certain way. Mm-hmm. Does the league, does the media, if they're doing this little fantasy draft, do they see him somewhere? James, I said, I don't agree with this. I think he's within the top 20. I don't think he'd be in the top 20 if they put it out to NBA media members.
There was speculation Sengun would be drafted before him. Zach Lowe was drafting. He's going to go Alperen Sengun.
Yeah.
No, I'm not taking Sengun, but
Do you think Tim Bontemps would? That's your
boy.
Would he take Sengun over Fox? I think he would.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible. But, I mean, again, you're going to balance age. You're going to balance a lot of things. Like, you got to ask the question, what about Paolo? Like, if we're mm-hmm. looking at Paolo today versus mm-hmm. what Paolo's going to look like in 2-3 years, I mean, that could change your trajectory on who you would draft. I mean, certainly Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown are in this conversation. Donovan Mitchell are in this conversation. Like, the guys who are around like 25, 26 years old, that would be sort of the guys that you would work with. But I mean, even like a Jalen Brunson would have to be part of some sort of conversation, I think. But hey, look, I think Fox is undervalued. I mean, we talked about it the other day. You know, the top 19 players, only one of them in scoring, only one of them didn't make the All-Star team, and he was number 8, and that was Fox. And then when you read off the names after Fox, it's just stunning, the fact that he didn't make the All-Star team. Mm-hmm. I mean, like points per game, they're not the end all be all. But I mean, he averaged more than Steph. He averaged more than so many players that you consider like the top notch players in the league. I just barely behind Jason Tatum on the season. And so I think like winning matters, and that's going to be the next stage of De'Aaron Fox's like career. Like, how do you become a sustained winner? And until he does that, I think he's always going to kind of be thought of this way. But like, look, if they win 50 plus games, he's going to get all the flowers, and he's always known that. He's always said it, that like winning is what's going to matter. And if we win, I will get the recognition I deserve. If we don't win, then I'm never going to get the props that I deserve.
I wonder if he, that's how it should go. I to a certain degree agree with him, but sometimes on these guys, I wonder if he'd still get the recognition.
What a difference DeMar DeRozan has made for Sacramento. Right.
I mean, they still don't play defense, but you know,
no, of course not. Of course not.
But I wonder if he wins, if he gets that.
Okay, but what if DeMar DeRozan is a big reason why they win, and Fox drops to like 22.5 points a game this season, then you have to look at that as like sort of part of the reason and a huge balancing point. So I don't know. I just wish that, you know, that all things were considered equal, and that NBA basketball writers and you know, sort of the think tank, they all looked at the league as a whole, as opposed to regional or, you know, their half of the country, what they're watching at 10 o'clock at night, because that's when the Kings come on, is at 10 o'clock at night, when a lot of these guys are, you know, they're done for the night, or, you know, they're covering a team and they're not going to get to watch the rest of it. You know, they're already somewhere else covering a team and they're not going to watch what's happening at night. So it's tough. You know, I pride myself at trying to watch as much basketball as I can. I don't watch every game. And so like there are times where like I might not have an appreciation for a player on the East Coast that I probably should. But you got to do your best to be fair and balanced when you're covering the league as a whole.
You didn't even talk about where Domas would be drafted.
Oh my gosh, he'd be
fourth round.
Yeah, I was about to say he'd be an undrafted free agent.
Man,
the way they talk about
they
Domas,
do not give that dude like an inkling of the respect that he deserves.
But they did during the end. You know, the All NBA balloting. They give him the credit he deserves, and even, you know, MVP balloting. He's what, number 7 and number 8 in the last 2 years in MVP balloting. So it's not like they're ignoring him completely, where I think, you know, again, it's kind of weird, but I think a lot of national writers think Fox is the best player, but then they vote Sabonis over him for all NBA. And, you know, again, it shouldn't be like, if you're all NBA and if you're a great player, it should transcend. Like, number one, it should transcend how many great players are on your team. I don't like this whole, oh, well, there's two of them, so they kind of split the vote thing. Whatever. I mean, there was a point where the Atlanta Hawks had 4 guys make an all-star team. So I don't want to hear it, not when Jeff Teague makes an all-star team. You know, if you're a great player, it should transcend. And for some reason with Fox, it doesn't on like a night-in and night-out basis.
Go ahead.
I was just going to, for the record, I'm going through this, my personal list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got him at 11. He's probably somewhere between 11 and 15, De'Aaron Fox. There might be some that.
Give me the, did you put names?
Yeah.
What are the names?
This is no order, just what came to my mind.
Okay.
Tatum.
Yep.
Jokic. I'll make it 12 because I'll put Paolo there. Paolo. Joel, Luka, SGA, Giannis, Wemby, Ant-Man, Donovan, Jaylen Brown. Yeah, and Paolo.
So you left the name out. Okay, that's interesting.
Who's that?
Devin.
Oh, Book?
Yeah, I'd keep Fox.
Donovan?
I got Donovan.
Oh, you said Donovan. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. So Devin Booker was a name that we talked about a lot earlier in that. I think KC had a ringer list of top 100 players or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And Book was like 13 and Fox was, I think, 22. What's that, Jesse?
Fox goes over Zion in these?
No.
Yes, he does.
I would take him.
Yeah, I
you would take Fox over Zion, Hammer?
Yes, I would.
And you would too?
I would put Fox over Zion. I will say this, though.
Sacramento hates Zion Williamson.
I think Fox, Ja, Booker, and Zion, if they had tiers to this, I think they'd be on the same tier.
Fox, Ja, Booker, and Zion. They're not going to put Ja in Fox's tier.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they are.
Well,
what did
I know.
What did Donovan Mitchell average per game last year?
Probably
was it 28? I thought it was it was Book or
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, that's who it was. Yeah. Yeah, you didn't name Brunson either.
I didn't. I would take Fox over Brunson.
Okay,
yeah.
You would take Fox over Brunson.
Yeah,
I don't think that's. I don't think that's like crazy either. I can't believe you didn't take Tyrese. Wow, wow.
Well, look. I think, so this is what we talk about, the way we look at it, in the way that I think they take Ja over him. I think they take Devin.
They take Zion.
I think they take Zion. I think Jalen Brunson. I think they take Tyrese. We're at five now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think he'd be outside the top 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely, people on the East Coast are definitely going to probably take Tyrese Maxey. They're going to take Jaylen Brown.
That was another one talked about is Tyrese Maxey and how, it's just weird. And maybe it is the East Coast thing. Like, why didn't y'all fall in love with De'Aaron that way? Like, because where did Philadelphia get eliminated in the playoffs again?
First round, they were playing.
Okay. Where did the Kings get eliminated?
They did win a series the year before. That's when they lost to Boston.
Yeah.
James Harden was there doing his thing. James Harden and Joel Embiid.
But this was Maxey's breakout year.
Yeah. And Maxey was great this year.
They bit hook, line. I guess the thing is everyone bit hook, line, and sinker on Maxey. Mm-hmm. And De'Aaron did the same exact thing the year before. And no one is going into this thing with Philadelphia this year talking about, I'm not sure they can make this work, or I don't know if Tyrese can repeat that. That's what they did with De'Aaron. Show me again. Oh, he's good against the Warriors. You know, riding high off his Under Armour deal, his Team Steph deal. But I don't know. Like, man, yeah, De'Aaron's been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. He just did it on a bigger stage. Finally, Tyrese Maxey had been. Like, good, solid. You started to see the emergence, but he wasn't doing what De'Aaron was doing.
I agree.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would say that, the thing with Maxey, both Maxey and Ant-Man, they're both, they're going into their fifth season, where you're going to give them a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because they kind of are establishing who they're going to be right now. Both of them took the big step to the 25 and a half points per game this last season and, almost 26 per game. And, where do they go from there? And Fox already took that step. He's a couple of seasons ahead of them, a couple of years older than them, but even still, that's what I brought it up the other day. Fox finishes 8 in scoring. Then it's Curry, it's Jokic, it's Maxey, it's Anthony Edwards, LeBron James, Kyrie, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, Kawhi Leonard, Jaylen Brown, and Zion Williamson. They're all below him in points per game. Mm-hmm. And none of them led the league in steals.
I was going to say, he's a better defender than virtually everyone that you just named.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, it is really just like, how in the world do you single him out as the player you're not going to show respect to? And realistically, it's because he plays in Sacramento.
Which is so weird. That's just weird to me.
But, I mean, how many extra years did it take Chris Webber to get in the Hall of Fame? It took him 5 years extra to get in the Hall of Fame. And I'm not saying that, if you're going to put some of his contemporaries in, he's a lot more first ballot Hall of Famer than some of the other guys that got in. But at the same time, like there, and he has some other issues with his Michigan days and stuff like that that do hurt him greatly.
Oh, Michigan.
Relax. Well, relax.
It's an organization that's known for cheating.
No, we get picked on. That's all it is.
Wow.
Jim Tressel wasn't doing nothing crazy?
Victim. Terrell Pryor got a tattoo.
Thad Mata? He wasn't doing nothing crazy?
I don't know what Thad Mata was doing. You bringing up basketball.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't care nothing about Ohio
State. What they doing in Columbus?
I just wanted Greg Oden to stay healthy. That's all I wanted. Greg Oden, Mike Conley. They're the national championship, baby.
Yeah.
Go Gators. Championship.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It's like you do have this stigma about being in Sacramento, and there's nothing you can do to get away from it. The only thing you can do is win. And that, you know, it's tough, but that's what you got to put that above everything else. If they can start winning and they can become a sustained winner, I think he'll get back into the all NBA conversation. He'll get back into the all-star conversation. But, you know, if not, he'll be a one-time all-star. And he's just too good to be a one-time all-star.
And,
you know,
and real quick, James, I just want to ask you, because we speculated he doesn't. Do you think De'Aaron cares about all this?
He certainly tells us he doesn't care.
He cares about all NBA, though.
Definitely.
There's some serious financial ramifications for all NBA.
Rain and Poppy got to go to college.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they
can't go now.
He got a family to feed.
You get that all NBA money. They're not going.
Got
to
pay that car registration we were talking about earlier.
Come on, man.
Yeah, they can own their own college if that. I mean, that next step up is huge, huge. So,
is this the last year for that? Like, I feel like it's 2 years, but you don't want with the idea of this being such a critical year for him getting all NBA recognition. Is you don't want him playing out his final year without a contract extension. Am I misinterpreting that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so sort of the difference is between all, I mean, there's different reasons why all NBA matter, right? So not only are you eligible, I think it's 30% of the salary cap versus 25%. So the dollar amount goes up, but if you get Supermax money, then I believe you can be under contract for, you can sign a 5-year extension and be under contract for 6 total. And if not, you can only sign a 4-year deal with, you know, a 4-year extension that would make you under contract for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So there's more advantages. It's about percentage of the salary cap. Everyone gets the same 8% raises and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, there are other nuances to getting all NBA, and it's a huge, huge payday. Like, I mean, we're talking about the difference of, it's like, look at that final year. If you can get to that final year and have it guaranteed now, knowing that you're going to get 8% raises every year, that final year is going to be like $70 million. And if you don't get that final year, then the value of the contract goes down considerably. Not only are you not getting 30% of the cap, but you're getting 25, so you lose 5% there. But then there's a whole bunch more on top of that that you're just not getting. And 5% of a $150-160 million salary cap, I mean, that's a huge amount of money. I mean, that's just a tremendous. You're talking about like I think it's 7.5 million a year starting is basically the difference in that. But over a 4-year deal, that's $30 million. And then if you can tack on that fifth year, now you're looking at like the difference is going to be roughly $100 million making all NBA this year versus not making all NBA. So that's crazy. That's a crazy amount of money.
So this is the other part of the conversation that we had, right? Like, after everything that we've just talked about, do you think that he can make all NBA this year? I'll take that back. You think he's going to make all NBA this year?
I don't know. I think I've said this on the Insiders. I think his pathway to an all NBA nod is easier than Sabonis's, because Victor Wembanyama basically should have an all NBA spot for the next decade. like moving forward. I just don't see a way in which he doesn't. Like, a, you know, a bare minimum, I think he's going to be like 24, 10, and 4.5 blocks a game like this year. And that's, that puts him in all NBA consideration. But I think he will be all NBA. I would have to go through all the guards in the Western Conference and then look and see who, well, all the guards overall in the NBA, and then see who made it this year versus, you know, who didn't. And then you got to worry about someone like Ja stepping up and just being better. But I also think that there's, I know this might sound sacrilegious, but there's a possibility that LeBron James isn't all NBA this year. There's a possibility that Steph Curry isn't all NBA this year. You're already seeing that Fox averaged, you know, more points per game than Steph last year. And if either one of those teams fall to like 10, 11, 12 in the Western Conference, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to give them an all NBA nod, even though they, I think they gave both him, both LeBron and AD all NBA nods, even though, you know, they were barely a playoff team last year.
Yeah, those types of things that are weighed against the Sacramento Kings aren't weighed against the likes of Kenny's Los Angeles Lakers.
Relax.
It's just not the same thing.
I'm tired of this disrespect.
No, number one moment in the history of D'Lo and KC, at least the first 1,000 episodes.
You don't recount. I was listening to Joe Davison again yesterday, his moment. That should have been top 10.
Yeah, the Joe Davidson
that was
wild phone call was pretty freaking iconic.
Yeah. I just want to clear, like, people keep saying it's positionless. That doesn't mean anything, just so you know. Like, the voters are still going to look, and for the most part, they're going to vote position by position. Like, you can say it's positionless, but there's still going to be like three or four centers on the team. I don't think it's going to be truly positionless.
Let's shift our attention to the newest Sacramento King, DeMar DeRozan. We've been watching these hoops hypes list all off season, and the small forwards came out, and DeMar DeRozan took the 8th spot. He would have been 6th, but he signed with Sacramento, so they're like, sorry, pal.
That's a -2.
Got to move you to 8. Got to move you to 8. And obviously, Kings fans have been pretty excited over the course of the last couple of days of various videos of DeMar DeRozan working out have hit the internet. And there was one that hit the internet yesterday that I think some people missed. Not the video. Mm-hmm. The video was pushed out there. DeMar and Juju getting that work in. Mm-hmm. The guy they were getting the work in with, I think, went over a couple of people's heads. That was the Doug Christie down in Los Angeles with that crew right there. And, man, James, you know better than anyone, the prospect of DeMar DeRozan or any Sacramento King spending time in their offseason with Douglas Dale Christie is a good look for all involved.
Yeah, it wasn't just Doug. Leandro Barbosa is there as well.
And those two are kind of like the tag team champions of the world. They're sort of inseparable at times.
No, I totally agree. And I don't know if you guys saw the video today. Kevin Herter was there with them.
I didn't see that.
Honest with you, Kevin Herter, just from the short clip I saw, looked like he's been working. He looks phenomenal. So that's a big deal. You know, that's definitely a big deal to see those guys working together, trying to figure everything out. We talked to Sean Cunningham yesterday, and he told us that that there's a mini camp that they're going to have here in the coming weeks, a couple of days with these guys. I don't know, in LA or somewhere in Southern California. But I definitely think that, you know, this team is trying to pull together right now. You're seeing Fox working with a lot of the young players right now. But when it really, you got to understand, like, Doug Christie, outside of the, you know, coaching the California Classic and Las Vegas Summer League, he's been with Domas the entire summer. He's been with him in Spain. He's been with him everywhere. And so this is a partnership that...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That I think already we saw the benefits last season with a lot of the things that Demonis was able to do. But I also think that like there's just so many finer nuances of the game that Doug wants to teach. Hmm. And there are things that if you're one of 15 guys listening to a conversation or listening, you know, to a coach, you don't take in all the nuances of what Doug is teaching. But when you get Doug, you know, in a one-on-one situation, he is working on so many things, whether it's hand placement, whether it's like just the way that you visualize and think of the game, how like Pete Carril used to tell them, like the behind the back pass, right? We watched Patrick Mahomes throw that behind the back pass the other day, and it was just so incredible to watch on a football field. But I don't know if you guys noticed that was like almost the only way that pass would have been completed. It could have gone for six the other way, but it was like there was no other window for him to make that pass. And that's something that Pete Carril has taught Doug and his group forever. Like the behind the back pass is something that you have to have in your bag because it actually is very effective. It should be part of basketball. Like the defensive player now has to go through you to get to the ball. And, you know, there's lanes that open up when you can do that. So there's so many things that I think that Doug is teaching him that are just immeasurable, and they're going to make Domantas Sabonis into a better basketball player. And even if his statistics don't skyrocket, that doesn't mean he's not a better player than he was a year before. Cause I can guarantee you last season, he was a much better player than he was a year before. And I expect him to take another leap as far as like what he means to a team versus what the stats look like.
We'll come back. We'll talk more about Doug Christie, DeMar DeRozan, and now that I know that there's more workout videos out there, Kevin Herter.
Kayvon is back.
We'll do that when Dilo and KC return here with James Hamm on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. James has a McLovin super bad t-shirt on, and it is sparking some interesting conversations here in the chat. 40-year-old version is very, very
it's hella funny. It's hella funny. 40-year-old version's hella funny. But I
think you guys are missing some one-liners and some things that happen in that movie. You're forgetting. Like, so you need
Well, there's the Kevin Hart cameo, or it wasn't even a cameo at the time. It was a Kevin Hart role in a movie.
Yeah.
That's you can't repeat those lines, but they're good.
And then the guy that he, that Kevin Hart, like it approaches, he has the entire scene where he talks about the sonogram, which is off the hook.
Yes.
Makes you want to cry. It's so funny.
No, that's a good movie. I just don't remember Superbad as well.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I'm about to watch Superbad again. I'm about to watch 40-year-old version again.
Well, they're probably on. It might be on right now, to be honest with you. 40-year-old version comes on. Well, that's a good point. On 7 stations. Our man Steven mentioned this. Hammer, as you brought up, Kevin Herter working out with DC, DeMar DeRozan, and Juju. An injury-free Herter is dangerous. Are we all in on that? Because I think I am.
I'm in.
I think so. Like, why not? Like, look, I know that a lot of people are just out on him, right? A lot of people just saw last season and they're just
I did kind of wonder if Michael's one of them.
Well, that's the most important.
Yeah. No, I get it. But that doesn't mean that, like, I could see, there's a world in which I could see him starting at the three and DeMar DeRozan starting at the two this season. And the Kings just going like all offense to open the game with all kinds of floor spacing and everything else. Like, I think Kevin brings an element to this team that's very difficult to replace. And I know, like, when I had conversations at the end of this season, I did not get the feeling that the Kings were out on Herter. I did not get that feeling at all. They think he's young and that there's still plenty of opportunity for him to bounce back and really have a strong, you know, year once he got past the shoulder issue. And so I don't know how long he's been able to go like full bore with his shoulder. But like the clip that I saw, he looks like he's been working out, not just running, but he looks like physically he's transformed his body. And like, look, that's what he has to do. He had a bad season. You got to figure out a way to bounce back and become the player you were before, whether it's for Sacramento or somewhere else. He's only under contract for two more years. And, you know, if you want to have that $17, $18 million a year contract, maybe even more than that, man, you gotta have a bounce back year, and you gotta show not just physically that you're ready, but mentally that you're ready for whatever comes your way in an 82 game season, whether that's starting, whether it's coming off the bench, you know, whatever it is. Like, the Kings need him to either have value either way, whether it's for them or whether it's for another team. And he also needs that. So, you know, a Kings fan should be pulling for him because if he's right, the Kings are a better team.
Yeah.
You got to remember, he was the third leading scorer from the team that was unbelievable the year before. And when you had his numbers and sort of the feel and everything about his game kind of go sideways last year, it really hurt the team. And, you know, if he had the same year he did the year before, that team wins 50 plus. You know, I don't have any questions in my mind. So we'll have to see how it goes.
You know, the other thing.
Hey, Kevin looks pretty good.
You see it?
I'm looking at. I didn't reach.
Did you unblock me? Can I?
No, I don't know how many days in a row I have to unblock you. Like, come on, man. Just find
I'm
it for yourself.
I'm trying to get the content too, man.
I'll retweet it. I didn't want to retweet it from the particular account I found it from, so I'll retweet it right now. That's my man, and I just didn't want to do that. So it's there on my account. You can see it. And Kevin, I mean, he's not where he looks in great shape.
Yeah. Yes,
I'll look before you unretweet it.
Oh no, it's out there. I got it. It's on there.
You know, the other thing about that though, Kevin Herter and having him back or whatever. I think I want to see this team. People talking about making another move and need to do something else. I think the Kings did what they needed to do in the offseason. And now going to the season with this team, I don't think a trade's on the horizon just in general. But the talk of a trade needs to be done. Like, go into the season with this team, see what you have, see what it's looking like, and it may work. It may work perfectly. And if it doesn't, then you've got another move or two to make, and you know clearly what it has to be. But I want them to focus on this group that's here. Like, I don't think right now, at least, is the time to talk about what's the next move or what more should we do.
I don't know that I agree with that 100%, just because, like, again, I don't put this on Kevin Herter as much as I just put it on the general team construction. The Kings still need length and athleticism. And again, it's not a knock on Kevin. And I said it to you guys, like, coming into this summer, there was no way you could come back this year with Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes both on the team. One of them, yes. You know, and to a point, I almost didn't care which one. Kevin is a younger player. You know, Harrison Barnes is the one with a more proven record of success. But just the combination of the two, you just weren't athletic enough at the two and the three to compete with, you know, New Orleans or OKC or the teams that Minnesota, the teams that you're going to be facing this year, who took a leap last year, or who you just stomped you last year in the Pelicans. And so that was my concern. And I think that they've done something different, but you know, they added a 6'5", 6'6" guy who can really score. They didn't add a long athletic defender outside of like Jalen McDaniels. So that's why even, you know, the other day we saw Nasir Little got waived. Man, I'm kicking the tires on Nasir Little. Like, if you can, you know, he's a guy who had some success and then sort of fell out of favor last year in Phoenix. And then they just bought out a 3-year, like almost $22 million deal for him. So they're going to pay him for the next 7 years with a stretch provision. And my point to him is that at some point, somebody thought he was worth a four-year, $28 million deal or whatever it was. He's still a good young player. He's still, you know, 24 years old. He has that length and some of the athleticism we're talking about. And I'm not sure that he's an end-all be-all either, and he can even make the rotation. But like, the more good players or potentially good players that you can amass that fit roles, the better chance you have to succeed down the road. And that's where I just kind of keep pushing, like, hey, you still need that length and athleticism that you just don't have right now.
Well, I agree with you on that. I was thinking more so along like, oh man, maybe we could package Herter and da 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 and move and go get Kuzma or something like that. So, I'm kind of off that. Like, if you're adding people around the margins, like a Nasir Little or something, like, yeah, absolutely, do what you have to do. But as far as trading what you have to go get some guys, I want to see what this group does.
It would have to be the right trade for me. I've never been an advocate of just trading Kevin Herter to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. That's not at all what I think the Kings should do. That doesn't mean that there won't come a time where you've got to make some difficult decisions here with this roster and the money that you're putting out for this roster. And those decisions are coming like very quickly. But you know, he's one of those guys that like, he'll have value. He'll have value this year as a guy who has a year and a half left on his deal at the trade deadline. And then next summer he'll have value as like an expiring contract that can help you out, who's still like 26 years old. So yeah, I definitely think that there's some advantage to having Kevin on the roster right now. And look, if he finds his game and steps on the court and becomes the player he was a year before, this team is going to be unstoppable offensively. Like that, like adding another guy who can shoot 38-40% from the field from three and just really like create so much space, like it's a good problem to have.
James, it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, you feel like it's important for the Sacramento Kings to get off to a pretty strong start.
Well, yeah, but I think that goes for everybody. You know, like we could dissect a schedule and, you know, look at that 6-game road trip they have near the end of the season where, like, look, if you're not rolling at that point in the season, that's going to wipe you out. You know, you'd rather have them have a little bit of flexibility at that stage in the schedule. But like, I think every team needs to get off to a good start. And the Kings are a team that, you know, they're going to have a little bit of clunkiness, I think, off the bat, just because DeMar DeRozan is a huge, like player to drop into a system. Like, his usage is high, his like what he does is very specific, and he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. That's just not something this team has been used to the last couple of years. And I love that he's down there working out with Sabonis. I mean, to me, that's exactly what he should be doing. He should be working out with Sabonis. He should be working out with Fox as much as humanly possible, because that's kind of like where this team is going to take the big leap. And if anyone wants to know why De'Aaron Fox isn't there, it's because De'Aaron Fox's wife just had a baby. And so that's why Fox isn't down there working out with these guys like crazy, because he's just like, life has happened and he's got stuff going on at home.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, but you know, people are going to ask. Yeah.
No, that's
we deserve to know where De'Aaron is at.
It's like, that's why I said it.
Poor wife on her pregnancy bed. Bro, it's none of your business.
Yeah. Go look at Instagram. Great pictures of little baby.
No, baby Poppy. I love the name. And I wonder if that's where what I'm thinking of is where
Leo
they got
baby,
it from.
By the way.
Well, yeah. Little baby, just barely. Yeah. These annoying Virgos creeping up.
I don't think
it's
just barely. I think he was born August 7th, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, well, no, not barely then. Anyway,
yeah.
Leos, Virgos, too many that don't matter. We're talking too much about people that don't matter, or the birthdays at least. But the thing that I keep on seeing, and that I just love, and the Kings put out a little video about with DeMar DeRozan, and it's just, man, the discipline. I keep coming back to that word with him, man. I don't know if you saw the video, but, you know, he talks about he gets up at 4 a.m. or something like that. He's on the beach before sunrise, you know, doing agility stuff and core workouts and then going there. And he's talking about, man, it's tough to do. You know, it's not easy to get up. You know, sometimes you want to just stay in the bed or whatever. But, you know, at this age and this point in my career, if you want to keep being the player that you are, you got to put that work in. And I just, you know, there's part of me that tries to prepare for, like, okay, maybe if it isn't as good as we all hope it is, I just can't see it not working out with a guy like DeMar DeRozan, aside from injury. But if he's healthy, like, he's going to do what he does, which is going to be 20 a night. De'Aaron's going to do what he does. Damone's going to do what he does. Keegan's going to do what he does. And you got Malik, and it's just, there's no way this team, if everybody is doing what they're supposed to do, doesn't win 50 games.
No, I would. I think you're right, Kenny. I also think, though, like, the way that DeRozan plays, it just requires a change in mentality from Sabonis specifically. But then, like, the other three players on the court, when those guys are in a two-man game, you really have to figure out how to space the four correctly, because they're not going to perform like the high pick and roll out past the 3-point line. They're going to do that pick and roll like more near the top of the key, more near the free throw line. And that's where they're going to do a bunch of damage, because that's where DeRozan just lives. And I don't think DeRozan has played with a player like Sabonis that can set him up this way as like a DHO screener. And I'm intrigued to see what it looks like, because, man, he's got so much in his bag, like so many moves and so much ability to score in the mid and get to the basket, that, man, if they can do that, and then on top of it, if he can be the passer in a pick and roll setting and drop those passes to Sabonis, and they can figure that out before camp starts and before the season starts, that could just be a deadly duo. And it just makes the team that much more complicated to defend. And so I think that there's a way in which this thing works like really, really, really well. I also think that there's a way that, like, it does look a little clunky coming out of the gate, just because you don't have the familiarity with these guys. I think it's good that the familiarity with the rest of the players is really high. And the players that might get minutes, like a Jordan McLaughlin, is more of like a catch and shoot player on offense, right? He's a dude who shot like 45%+ last year from three, just in the catch and shoot. He kind of gets out of the way on the offensive end and lets you do your thing. And that's a good thing to have guys like him, Trey Lyles, Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, just waiting on the perimeter to launch.
I think it's possible that it gets off to a smoother start than you might be giving it credit for.
It could.
It can certainly be clunky, but I just feel like the way that these guys work and the way that, not to go ESPN on you, but on the defensive end.
Look at them. Maybe look there, who it is now. It'd be maybe, own people.
Maybe there are things to figure out over there, but in terms of the offense, I feel like that could get out to, I feel like they could adapt to that pretty quickly. It feels like there aren't, I think one thing that really helps this team, Hammer, is there aren't a lot, or there might not be any, like, really kind of over-the-top egos on it. When you have a lot of really big egos, I think that can slow the influx of a new offense or a really new important component to the offense. I don't feel like the Sacramento Kings have that.
No, I think the one guy, like, DeRozan comes in with a mindset of, like, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, and, like, you guys need to get out of the way for certain stretches of the game while I do my thing. But he's also learned over the years how to be a very good passer. And if DeRozan comes in with the mindset that he's going to empower De'Aaron Fox and Keegan Murray specifically, then this team can just take off. If that is what his goal is, to be a shot creator for others, get his, but also have these moments where he's firing, you know, the skip passes and the passes to get these guys like wide open looks. Like if he decides he's got to score 24 a game, this thing could get a little difficult. I just don't think that that's the player he's going to be. I think like 21, maybe 22 at the most, but he's going to take a little bit of a step back offensively in order for this whole thing to like flow and to work. And that's what you hope at least.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning a little bit towards what Dame is talking about. I think this offense from the jump, and once again, I'm preparing myself for first 12 games, first 15 games.
I love the Minnesota game out the gate. Like, yeah. I absolutely love that game out of the gate.
I think they're going the more I think about it, the more I just – because it's like what you guys talked about, like the egos aren't there. And, you know, and to a certain degree, like I'm thinking of ways where it might not work. Maybe people are too nice. Mm. You know, maybe there's nobody.
Too many extra passes.
Yeah, like, oh, I want to make sure everybody feels good. Somebody going to need to look at that and be like, no, it's time to get 25 tonight. You know what I mean? This is what needs to happen. Or tell somebody else. Fox, no, it's cool that you're trying to make the extra pass. Mm-hmm. You're a 26-point-per-game scorer in this league. Go be that. You know what I mean? That's where I think there might be a little bit of issue. But I think because of DeRozan and the high IQ that he plays with and Sabonis and even Fox, I think navigating their way through around the floor and in that offense, I think they'll be all right, or even early.
No, I think it's possible. It's just, I just caution people that there's a difference between a guy who scores the way that DeRozan does, but like six or seven of his shots come from behind the arc, and a guy who doesn't shoot a lot from behind the arc. Like, the spacing is going to take some adjusting. Like, there's going to be some things that you have to adjust to. And like, look, I think the good thing is Jay Triano was DeRozan's first coach. He knows him really, really well and can figure this out and kind of, you know, like, hopefully that's what we see, because I think like offensive potential, this thing could be one of the great offenses we've ever seen in the league.
Is that the biggest thing that they have to figure out, Hammer, is spacing?
Yeah, it's spacing. And it's not just because of DeMar. It's DeMar and Domas. Like, it's the combination of the two. And again, if you want to get them in a two-man game and they're going to shrink the floor by against Sabonis moving closer to the basket and doing the pick and roll closer to the basket, or the DHO, the dribble handoff closer to the basket, that just shrinks the floor. And you hope that it might open up the spacing a little bit for your shooters. But if you can get Sabonis to drag that out to the three-point line and then, you know, actually shoot the three, I think it could be really deadly. Because if he fakes a DHO and you got two guys that are following DeMar DeRozan, you know, to the baseline, it should leave Sabonis wide open for top of the key or you know, above the arc 3-point shot. But he's got to take it in order for that to keep them honest. And so, yeah, I think it's going to add a new element. But I also think, like, Sabonis needs to pump up that 3-point number. If DeRozan can't move his number to 4 to 5 a game and sort of do a little bit more of, you know, corner, standing in the corner type stuff, then Sabonis needs to make up that difference as well and bump his 3-point shots up to, you know, 1.52 a game, you know, maybe even a little bit higher than that. I'm not saying Sabonis needs to be out there chucking 3 or 4 threes a game.
Because God knows he won't.
If he's hitting,
he will not take a shot that he is not 1,000% confident in. That man will not take a bad shot if his life depended on it.
Yeah, and if he misses one, he really does kind of cool down. Like, he doesn't want to take more. That's usually the problem. If he hits his first one, it's like, okay, it's on. But if he doesn't, then he usually reserves that and he doesn't take a lot more after that.
That's the old Boogie thing. Boogie hit his first three. He's taking six.
Yeah.
He's taking six in this game. He just hit his first one. He's going to get six off right here.
Real quick, speaking of Boogie, did you see him with Draymond Green?
Mm-mm. No. I saw that it happened. I refused to watch.
I saw like the first 2 minutes of a clip, and then he goes, Draymond's setting everything up, and he goes, yeah, you know, you were with the Kings, you know, franchise that was rough or whatever. And Marcus is like, yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, laughing stock of the league. He's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, you know, a franchise where, you know, people thought it was a night off when you played him. And Boogie was like, whoa. Whoa, chill, brother. And then Draymond was like, no, I'm not saying, no, I'm just saying, it was me too. He got smooth for a second.
I saw the clip where, did Draymond call him crazy?
I didn't see that.
I saw one floating around. That's how I knew that they had linked up. Where he was like, yeah, we're kind of the same. And I think Draymond said something, no, we're not, like, you're crazy. Something like that. I was like, I'm not. I am absolutely not entertaining Draymond.
Yeah, I didn't get no more than about 3 minutes in. I was like, we'll move on.
Good luck, Draymond.
Good luck with that.
Hammer, what do you got going on this weekend? Fantasy football draft? What's happening?
No, we do that Labor Day weekend. We do have Domantas Sabonis. We'll have his basketball camp this weekend, I think Sunday.
Oh.
So I might go out and see a little... Domas teaching the kids.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Outside of that, it's going to be a little bit quiet. We're at that time of the year where you need to recharge and get ready.
Yeah, we're only 2 months away from games.
Yep.
Two short months away. Almost there. We'll only rehash
short months.
This exact conversation.
Three times.
Four more times. Yeah. At least four more times. We might just cut this and just run it so y'all can hear it again later.
Bianca Belair interview.
Run it back. Bianca Belair joins us talking about our match with Sasha. What are we doing next? Are we running it back? All right.
Well, we got football on tonight, too.
We do. Niners, Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
49ers preseason.
Yeah, we got Green and Gold, Run It Back, and the Niners, Raiders.
Green and Gold, which is live.
Yes, live with Charlie and Kyle Madsen up next. Mm. Kyle's been here doing nothing for about 4 hours. He's pissed. Right. He's really mad.
It's
so mad.
It's live, pal. So we got that coming up. We appreciate you for being with us. Big thanks to Sky River Casino. Matthews Mattress, head over to MatthewsMattress.com. Make sure you tell them D-Lo and Casey sent you. And, of course, our friends over at MapTrition.com and Map Training. Use the promo code DLO1320 to get 10% off your order. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for an amazing week. Thank you for all the wonderful tweets and messages. And we'll see you back here on Monday beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos 49er.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.